All right, buddy, got a packed podcast here to close out the week. Hit us with the beats.
Oh, yeah, my friend. We touch on the great crossover episode that you had with the Lock On Lakers podcast as it applies to team building, because ahead of the weekend, we can't help but dip our toe into the absurd trade speculation waters, really more about the hot take nature of Kyrie Irving for Ben Simmons, how it gets traction, the way fan bases react, and why you want to temper that a little bit. It's tantalizing, but try to keep your feet tethered to the earth.
It's going to be a good one. It's a packed podcast. Tons to talk about all over the Nets map here. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day, a few days less during the summer. I'm Doug Norrie, owner-operator DFSR.com. If you need some projections for FanDuel and or DraftKings, head on over to DFSR.com. Rolling through NFL season. Speaking of NFL, we're not just a basketball thing here. That's Adam Armbrecht. He's the host of the One Giant podcast, where he and his boy Andy Mack are breaking down the New York football giants. Got the New York scene on lock here. Buddy, how are we doing? September Friday, rolling through some news. Always a little drama in Nets world, it seems like.
You better believe it, man. I got to take an episode off, a two-parter episode off, because you got on with the Locked On Lakers podcast. That was a great conversation. And it feels like it ties into, you say, never a dull moment in Nets land, because it's almost, you'll know from the title of the episode, like, just sometimes it feels like absurdity knows no bounds, and even a Brooklyn Nets fan base that should be super satisfied with having three superstars and going for championships, it's never quite enough, because apparently maybe Kyrie, maybe he shouldn't be on the team. Maybe there's better options out there than having three of the best players in the league. I don't know. You tell me, Doug.
Oh, man. So people can't help themselves sometimes. We're going to not be able to help ourselves by responding to it, because that's just the way sometimes of the content world. There's no way around it. People say things, other people respond to it. That's the parasitic news cycle that I'm fully aware that we're part of right now by commenting on it. So that
we're a nice parasite.
That moderate irony is not lost on us at all. But yeah, a little hubbaloo yesterday around Kyrie, around a couple different things, frankly. But we'll talk about the basketball side of it first. Nick, and I'm not even sure this qualifies, but whatever. Nick Wright, who probably trolling for a little bit of information from FS1, got a big following. Mostly, I don't know, most of the takes I disagree with, but whatever, but that's it's a hot take world, so that's where his bread is buttered. He wrote a tweet that said, there are a handful of Kyrie trades that potentially make sense for the Nets. Kyrie's agents have made it clear, made it known that Kyrie would simply, quote, retire from the NBA if Brooklyn were to trade for him. And then later, there was a follow-up tweet to this that he responded to that implied a Ben Simmons and Kyrie trade. Like, the Nets would trade Kyrie and the Sixers would get back, the Nets would get back Ben Simmons from the Sixers, to which I guess Nick Wright thought that that was what he was implying. I'm not really sure. And, of course, this got Nets Nation nice and frothy around the idea and how ridiculous it was for some and how some people thought it would make them better and blah, 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 blah. That's kind of where it landed. What were your reactions when you saw either Nick's tweet or sort of the way the fan base reacted? Because this kind of actually went along with some of the stuff we talked about with Locked On Lakers. It's sort of like tangentially. But what were your thoughts when you saw this and sort of how quickly it ramped up into an actual discussion about a non-existent Kyrie trade?
Well, like you said, with the Locked On Lakers, building a team, right? Roster construction, what's the best way to complement players? And I know you're going to touch on the actual mechanics of a trade like this and what it would mean to have Ben Simmons as opposed to Kyrie Irving with the Brooklyn Nets roster. But, like, on its surface, the thing that I think is probably one of the funniest parts of it is when something like this gets a ton of legs, like, first you get the whole list of, like, knock it off, this is ridiculous. But then you get fans that are analyzing what it means and what it would look like and why it doesn't make sense. And I think that those fans are all living in a world where they think it is a real possibility that something like this could occur, because now you're You're saying, well, if you brought in Ben Simmons, you would gain this defensively but lose this on the offensive end, and what does it all look like? And at that point, that means that everyone's in the waters. Everyone is in agreement that this is a real thing that could be an occurrence. It's just a matter about whether or not you agree or disagree with it, as opposed to, for me, my starting point was, this isn't a thing that's going to happen. This is not real. It doesn't exist. It's nothing more than the quiet time of year, like the last little bit of a lull before the NBA season gets back underway, when it's like, and you know, maybe Giannis for Harden, you know, it's on the table. Milwaukee is interested. They're coming off a championship. They feel like they've satisfied the needs of the fan base, and maybe this is something you could want to do. Like, that, give me any absurd star for star or a scenario just like this one where Kyrie Irving has recently come here. He's the face of this thing in Brooklyn along with KD and with Harden, and then say, or maybe a couple of years later, he's somebody that the organization completely wants to move on from. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's a lot of absurdity. I know that it is, and I have my also the fan base perspective, which being a Nets fan through the bad times, as we like to refer to them, the dark times back in New Jersey even. But just from a mechanics of this trade, why, let's go ahead and dispel it from like a fact-based standpoint. Why wouldn't this make any sense for Brooklyn, even if they were thinking about doing it?
I'll respond to that one second. I did want to respond. I did want to say that Kyrie actually did respond to the Nick Wright tweet by just calling him a puppet, which I thought was pretty funny. And then
The little marionette fingers just dancing over top, which was absolutely perfect.
And then Wright commented back, and it became, again, like a kind of a silly thing. Anyway, so a couple things. One, I actually don't, there's probably something to be said for the one part of Nick Wright's tweet that said he would retire. I actually believe that would probably be the case, but I also don't think he's getting traded, so it doesn't really matter. But you know what, right, I mean? So I think like that one thing could be, that's actually, but that part sounded true to me. And dismissing the fact that the trade wouldn't work. So people rang in around why Nets fans sort of wanted to say, oh, well, you know, defensively they would improve because Ben Simmons is a better defense, doing this like sort of weird one-to-one swap for skill sets and saying, well, Ben Simmons is a better defender and Nets need defense. And no one would dispute that Ben Simmons is a better defender than Kyrie. But right, it's really what the central misconception around team building here is that the Nets are trying to be balanced in this sense around the offense and defense, and that's just not the case. Like, they've made it very clear what they're trying to do. They're going to absolutely overwhelm you with offense, and they'll take defensive players where they can get them. And so, but it's not going to be around these three guys, because this team is centrally constructed to, like I said, overwhelm you with offense. And
it's a philosophical, it'd be a complete philosophical shift from the way you chose to construct the roster.
100%. And by the way, it works. Like, it worked. We saw what happens when these guys play together. You cannot stop them. Their best offense will completely destroy your best defense. And so, and your offense will not be able to keep up with how good the Nets defense is. And so, it just makes it's funny about, I think there's sometimes fans misconstrue skill sets around what would be good complementary pieces. Oh, Durant and Harden are great on offense, therefore we can need another defender. Or, oh, there's only one ball, and what are all these other stupid like mini tropes that kind of crop up around the NBA. But it's just not what they're trying to do. They're saying, oh, when these three guys are on the court, yeah, are we a little worse on defense? Sure, we're going to be historically great on offense. So how's that? Is that good enough? Like, I'm going to say that that's good enough, and we don't need to add a Ben Simmons. And again, they're not. I want to be very clear about what we're saying here. We are not entertaining the idea that there was ever a trade on the table. We're more responding to, I think, a misconception around team building as a central point rather than responding to this not ever going to happen trade.
And it goes back to your conversation with the crossover podcast about DeAndre Jordan, right? What is his value to the Brooklyn Nets roster and what they want to do this year versus where his value might lie for the Lakers and what they want to accomplish? There are situations where certain players and skill sets fit into what you want to do. So even from the far-fetched, not going to happen, not a real conversation, and this is, I think, the problem for you and me is like something comes up and we're like, but it doesn't even, it's not real, and it doesn't even make sense. Like, at least if you're going to throw something out there, have it be for a player that matches up and makes sense for what the Brooklyn Nets have been doing over the last two, three seasons and building towards, as opposed to, again, picking a player that happens to be someone that wants to be traded, doesn't want to play for his team anymore, and then just saying, well, high profile talent, just swap them. Like that's not the way that trades work, and it's also not the way that teams work in as far as saying we want to build and improve our roster. I mean, bad teams do this, but the good teams do not pivot from week to week, month to month, year to year, and say, now we're going to go in a totally different direction for how we think we can have team success. Like, you stay the course because you believe in the process that you're working towards.
Yeah, okay. And so take this, I'll put it this way, to kind of piggyback off that. Take this, what we're talking about here, not as rumor mongering or talking about a trade. Treat this as a PSA for yourself about like how not to react as a Nets fan. Like, use this as a public service announcement. Use it as an educational tool. Cite it when you need to in arguments with other people that don't listen or don't know what they're talking about. Because when the other Nets fans' friends bring this up, say, we're giving you multiple ways to throw cold water on this, and that's really your goal here. This is the podcast version of teaching you, the Nets fan, how to combat ridiculous takes like this within your own life. So that's the way to look at it.
Right?
Oh, the sorry. You're doing the theme music. Okay. Yeah. I was wondering what you're like leaning back. We're on YouTube right now. I saw Adam leaning back and I was
having
like
a meditative moment.
I thought you were trying to tell me to stop talking, but that might've been it too. Okay. We're going to get into some more of this stuff here. First, have to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar, very best protein bars on the market. You probably tried some other stuff out there that claim to be, you know, good tasting protein bars. They're just, the claims can't be true. Much like a Nick Wright tweet, the claims cannot be true. With Built Bar, you are getting the very best protein bar on the market with the very best flavors to boot. German chocolate, salted caramel, mint brownie. You heard me say it before. These aren't ice cream flavors, folks. It's actual protein bar. Actually good for you. Stats to back it up. 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories ranging 130 to 180. That's a sweet spot, baby. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Get these right now by going to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, just like our podcast network, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com.
And of course, we're now live on YouTube with our podcast, and that means that I want to be looking my best, looking my most fresh. And that's where Sweat Block comes in. This is a doctor-created, doctor-recommended sweat block wipes that I use to avoid having any of those ugly pit stains on my shirt, looking like I'm nervous or sweaty. No, sometimes I'm just a guy who gets a little bit hot under the collar and can't control his sweating. It's embarrassing. I've had it happen in big, important meetings, video calls, and YouTube channels like this one that we're doing right now. So as I say, doctor created, doctor recommended, works for up to 7 days per use, dry shirt guarantee. Sweat block doesn't keep you dry. You get your money back. That's the guarantee they're providing, with featured and tested on Rachel Ray Show and used by firefighters as well. If there's anything hotter than a firefighter situation, I don't know what it is. Bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years, over 13,000 reviews, and currently number one on Amazon's antiperspirant category. It's also manufactured, by the way, in the USA. You wear what you want to wear. Your little secret to confidence is those sweat wipe blocks. This is a must-have for anyone's toiletry bag, whether it's a big presentation or a hot date. I'm not having any of those anymore with my lovely living girlfriend, but you may be out there trying to have yourself a good time. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON, or on Amazon and at CVS. So the other piece of it for me that I wanted to touch on, you mentioned the fan perspective. For someone like myself who's been a Nets fan his entire life and has basically watched them always be pretty bad, one little opportunity with you know, Jason Kidd and Kenyon Martin and Richard Jefferson and all those guys going to the finals and losing, where they didn't have no one really thought they had a chance to win against the Spurs or the Lakers in those opportunities. But it's a little bit, like, irritated is probably maybe it's the right word. I find it annoying that a Nets fan base, if you've been a fan for a long time, now you finally get superstars on your roster, and it's not enough. Like, you're still willing to engage in this type of idea of, like, you have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. And someone says, Ben Simmons doesn't want to play in Philly anymore. Rather than just be like, oh, man, I wonder where he'll end up, a certain segment of Nets fans go, huh, you think we could trade Kyrie for him? boy, his defense is good. That would improve us. How would it make our team better? What would that look like? Like, I find it annoying that there's fans that are like, maybe we need that guy too. Maybe we need another player. Maybe this thing that we just finally got a sample size of last year and then had to deal with injuries and didn't even see the full strength of what this team can be. And by the way, supplemented with Paul Millsap and with LMA coming back. Like, it's all working. And yet, you cannot help but grab onto the fence, pull yourself up and go, maybe, though. Looks a little bit greener over there if I could just get my hands on X. It's gluttonous. I don't appreciate it.
I think there's like two things at play here. And they both make sense when you assume, well, one has more to do with entertainment and the other one has to do with sports fandom. So I think there's two separate things. I'll talk about the entertainment piece first. That part of it, what you were just describing to me, the kind of wanting more or getting excited about this thing, getting, you know, we have this thing, but we have this other thing. It almost made me think about how people react to movies compared to trailers. And there's almost always significantly more excitement around a trailer than there is around the actual movie, yeah. Right? Like the trailer, like, oh, Matrix trailer just came out, or like, you know, Shang-Chi trailer just came out, or like, let's check, you know, all this cool Dune trailer. And by the way, I fall victim to it too. I'm like, oh my God, you know, the trailer, this is going to be amazing. And I'm almost more excited about that at times than seeing the actual movie, which is exciting. But the trailer tends to elicit more sort of like visceral reaction. And then you get the movie and you either liked it or you didn't like it and you can kind of go about your day. That's what the Simmons and that's what this trade thing and like not being happy with a certain player reminded me of was the idea before. We don't have the thing to watch right now, right? We don't have the movie. All we have is the little trailer to get excited about. Well, hey, let me try to come up with other ways I can get excited about the movie. This is how you continually create excitement around your thing. So that was the one thing. Let me ask you that. Does that make sense? Like that piece of. Like it's almost like fan hype building because they don't have the actual thing in front of them, which for a lot of fans, frankly, ends up being disappointing, which, by the way, is often what happens with movies, too.
Yeah. Well, and yes, I think that especially it's like the season is going to be the movie and all we can do is get trailers and teasers right now. So I think it makes sense on that level. But I'll even go the extra mile would be like you're watching Avengers Endgame trailer. It's finally out. And you're sitting there and you see Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth and Scarlett Johansson and all these people. And you go, boy, though, if they just had Tom Cruise in there, that would really, yeah. Maybe if Tom Cruise was instead of Chris Evans, like if you started thinking about this thing that looks really good and you're excited for, but also what if it was different and maybe better? Possibly not, but let's, you know, that like it's even the extra thing of right. While you're watching the trailer for the movie that you're excited for, you're also thinking about editing the trailer.
Exactly. And so because this is the fun, this is part of what's sort of like the entertainment yeah. around it. It's sports are entertainment. They need ways to continue to be entertaining for you, ways that you can continue reconfigure or have your own little spin on it, right? Like what you were saying, oh, I want to have my own, why don't I have this? I came up with this idea that this character should be in here. It's my own little spin.
Yeah.
Here's the good news around the Nets, and it's like the same with most movies at this point. The experts did the work. They made something good for you. Like, there's a reason they didn't call you up and ask for your opinion, okay? There's a reason your opinion doesn't really matter. Same with me, by the way. I'll put myself in the category, too. Like, opinions are opinions. Like, so all the sayings that go with opinions that I can't say because they wouldn't pass the clean tag on iTunes here. Right. So I'm not going to say them, but this is just kind of what happens. And so I'm never surprised by it. But I'm also not surprised by people's reaction to it either, because again, this is what sort of keeps it fun. Well, it is fun to talk. I will say it's simultaneously annoying to talk about Kyrie fake never going to happen trades, and also sort of like fun to, because our thing is going to be, hey, we're going to throw cold water on it.
Right.
Like that's going to be our little part of the dance.
Right.
Right. our
hi, this is Adam Arbeck and Doug Norrie. We're your wet blanket.
Exactly, totally, and I think there's all that part of it too, and so I think that, and I'll get into the other part of it, the fandom piece in a second, because that also is a piece of a longer conversation, and so it's totally separate around this whole thing, because there's a fan piece that especially specifically having to do with the Nets that makes it so that the Nets are particularly susceptible to this kind of conversation right now, and because. They're just at a team in flux. But before we talk about it, but like the trailer thing, I guess you already said this, but the trailer thing makes you, there's significant overlap between the reaction, because I've watched a lot of movie stuff, and I see people's reactions to this stuff too, and you would be shocked to know that the reactions from people that don't watch any sports, which is, you know, sometimes huge Marvel fans or whatever, and not all, I mean, there's a lot of overlap, but the reaction, the overlap of reactions is, the Venn diagram's got a lot of coverage on each other.
And as you say, in the same way that the Russo brothers didn't want to hear from you, Sean Marks doesn't want to hear from you, and right. To your point, it's like you watch those trailers or you hear the rumors, and you dissect them down into your subcategories and your avenues, and you also make wild assumptions about what it is and what this means. Like, you talk about trailers, right? Like, what that little clip meant, what seeing this character has to infer. And if it infers that, then this is why that's a good or bad thing. It's the same way, right? A little tweet here, a little tweet there. Suddenly, oh, would Kyrie retire if the Nets traded him? Are the Nets trading him? And now you've spiderwebbed so far away from anything real or tangible, you're not actually analyzing the thing that is the topic of conversation.
Right, exactly. And again, it's fun. I'm not complaining. I'm not being a huge, like I said, wet blanket around the conversation. I think it is what makes sports fun. It makes you want to listen to podcasts around all different mm-hmm. topics like this, because it's fun to speculate. It's fun to have your own ideas. It's fun to kind of come up with your own little trade in this sense, ways that you think you would make the team better. That I think there's a real place for that in sports conversation. It's frankly most of it as we move into a new world of just continued news cycles. This is as important as watching the game.
Yeah.
It's why the off season is sometimes as much fun as the in season, because there's less known about the off season. That sometimes that makes it more fun. All right, I want to talk about the fandom piece here in a second. First, talking about our friends over at Rock Auto. You know I use these guys, family owned and operated for more than 20 years. If you're trying to get auto parts these days, you can't go to those local places. You don't know what you're getting. They're just using a computer. You have a computer. They're just searching for make and model. You can search for make and model on Rock Auto and know that on Rock Auto, you're getting 30 or 50% better prices on everything you need. Super easy to search the website. Brake parts, tail lamps, even carpets, really everything that you could ever want for your car. Your car has tons of parts. Rock Auto has them all. And like I said, you're doing the same exact research that they're doing at the local place for better prices. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car and or truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box. They'll know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
And while Doug's fixing his car, I'm fixing your betting needs, because betonline.ag wants you to know they're back and they are better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as the teams get back onto the NFL football fields. Week number 2 kicking off just last night with the Giants, my Giants, and the Washington football team. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, prop bets, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. You can head over to the website or use that little mobile device in your pocket we call a cell phone and sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook expert. Promo code Locked On. So the one thing that I'll say in regards to, and we're going to more of the fan piece of it, like, this is very specific to this instance about Kyrie Irving for the Brooklyn Nets. When it's in the offseason, when the James Harden rumors came up, those are great. Those are awesome to talk about when there's these superstar free agents and you wonder where they're going to land and how certain players would fit really well together. Like, that's awesome. I'm all for that and diving in on some of the possibilities of how teams could construct themselves, what team-ups like AD getting out from the Pelicans and making his way to LA to join LeBron, right? Like, all of those elements are awesome. It's only the part where when you get to the place when it's like, well, now they did all the big moves. They've done it all. They now have the big pieces, whether or not they ended up being the ones you thought or however it worked out. Like, now that team is made. And let's go ahead and see what happens there, because in the background, there's going to be 5, 6, 7 other 8 teams in every single offseason that are trying to work the same type of process and find something new. So, you know, maybe it's a little bit of that, I'm going to say this term, FOMO, you know, that fear of missing out on those conversations, because the Nets have already done that. You're going to have to wait a few years before the Nets are back in those waters.
Yeah, and to go along with that, the piece where the Nets fan is sort of falling prey to some of this stuff, I think, maybe more than some other teams, is that the Nets fan is in, just like the Nets, the organization, by the way, is in a totally new cycle of talking points right now, unlike we've seen for almost a whole generation or half a generation of people, right? Which is a superstar team, which the Nets have not had, really, I mean, ever. Nothing like on this level, for sure. A superstar team with real, legit odds-on championship aspirations to walk into a season, which the Nets are right now. They're the odds-on favorite to win the championship on betonline.ag. And so this is just not a situation Nets fans are used to. Go ahead.
No, I'm really taking this a little bit away from it, but it still is fan-connected. Do you think that the reason why if it had been Kevin Durant, it's all absurd, right? But what if it was Kevin Durant for Ben Simmons? Like, I feel like collectively the Nets fan base would be like, nope, I'm not going to tolerate anything about this. Like, I do think that the reason why this gets legs on any side of it is because whether it's a part of the fan base that feels like Kyrie is a little bit checked out on basketball sometimes, or that now you have Kevin Durant and James Harden looked the way that he did, that maybe in a world that you could have gone back and redone this, you would have avoided bringing in Kyrie. Like, this feels specifically tied to how the fans feel about Kyrie and his value to this team winning a championship as opposed to some of the other players. Because, Ben Simmons for James Harden? Wouldn't even be a talking point. KD, obviously not a talking point for anyone in the league. Out of the big three, Kyrie's the only one that I think Nets fans would be willing to entertain the conversation. And there's some level of irony around that because without him, you don't get Kevin Durant and you don't get James Harden. So, like, this is that classic thing where, like, for whatever Kyrie is as a personality, if I'm him, it's all a joke and who cares? And also you're like, man, like, remember when I was the most important thing that got this all started? It's like you guys just totally forgot about that and you're willing to jump into this.
Yeah, he's the easy one for guys like, you know, for talking heads to go after, I think, in this scenario, because he's polarizing in a way that the other two aren't. Maybe, you know, just in terms of how they're perceived, this one would be closer to landing than Kevin Durant, which would be laughed out of the building immediately, right? So there's like, there's certain situations that allow it to sort of take place that maybe wouldn't happen. I mean, frankly, it's funny because Ben Simmons and Harden were tied together in a trade talks last year, and supposedly the Sixers didn't want to do it. So if that's actually the case, which it looks like it was, an all-time bad move by the Sixers. But the, no, so I think Kyrie ends up becoming like a little softer landing spot for takes like this for the reasons that you mentioned. And because like this is just, it's all new. This is where the Nets are. It's just, Nets fans aren't used to being in this spot. And because it hasn't happened yet either. So unlike the Lakers, I mentioned this on the Lakers podcast, unlike the Lakers, they have their championship with that group. They've done it. They already cleared the hurdle. Yeah, now the Bucks have done it with Giannis, right? There's a couple teams now that have done it and don't really need to answer these sort of like off-season questions about whether the pairings around the top are good enough. Yeah. And the Nets just haven't, because they haven't quite gotten there, but because they're the favorites to get there, it lands them in this very weird spot of the grass looks greener, but Nets fans don't really realize that the grass is super green already right now. Like, it's already, like, it's the grass, honestly, from a team construction level, is as green as you could ever hope to get, ever. This is, like, a historically talented team. I'm saying that right now, not having played a single minute in the season, this team, on paper right now, is an all-time talent team. I'll put it up against any other team. At least on paper right now, that's where they look. And it's just a weird spot to be in as a fan because it's hard to sort of see that before, without the championship hardware to go with it to start.
Well, again, like these analogies, but it's like you've planted all the seeds, you're watering the lawn, and you want to till it over before you see what's grown. Like that, right. Like it's to your point, right? Like see it through. Let them get through this season healthy. Let them go to the finals. Let them win or lose, you know, in the finals to a Lakers team. Like, and if they don't win it, and then the next year comes, they're on these extensions. Yeah, then it starts to erode a little bit, and you start to think about the age of the players and how it can work and what the long term plans are going to be around it. But like, at least wait. This is the favorite Doug Norrie line, right? Like, the science, let the science be solved first. It's not solved yet. They have all the algorithms, all of the components are there. Now it's just about seeing if it ends up being a championship recipe or formula, whatever the heck the science.
By the way, the science wouldn't be solved if they had Ben Simmons instead of Kyrie. The same discussions would.
Well, like, and that's probably the biggest part too, right? Like, yes, even if swap out Kyrie for Ben Simmons, we'd all be sitting here going, is this good enough to win a championship? Can they get there? What will it look like in the finals against Team X, Team Y, in the playoffs against the Milwaukee Bucks? So, like, you're not, that's the other thing too, is like, you're not solving anything by doing something like this. Like, that's the problem I think I have with it too. It's like, regardless of the validity of it, is bringing in Ben Simmons, as you say, makes you a better defensive team, makes you a weaker offensive team. So what does that equal? We don't know. And we don't know what being, well, actually, I'll say this. We do know what Kyrie, KD, and James Harden are. They are an unstoppable offensive force. Like, that we do know for a fact. It's just about whether or not now can they be healthy enough, long enough together to go ahead and assert that offensive dominance on teams throughout the playoffs and a championship run, right? Like, that is something we know. We don't know what the impact of bringing in a high defensive player with zero offensive upside at this stage of his career. We don't know what type of detriment that could be to the rest of the players on the floor on a possession-to-possession basis. And that, to me, is where you want to take the big healthy step back and really examine it. It doesn't make sense from that standpoint. That could drag you down. Look at the Philadelphia 76ers who've had Ben Simmons with Embiid, with Tobias Harris to whatever level you put him on. Like, they've had a lot of offensive weapons around them, a lot of dominant players. And Ben Simmons was the guy that was standing under the basket and blew it at point blank range. So you think Kyrie's going to blow something like that? Like, you tell me where you want the percentages, because you are introducing a variable into the equation that I would say is more likely to be a detriment than it is to be an addition in a positive way, if I was really going to go all the way down the rabbit hole of would this make sense in a world?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, like, that's where it ends up being, right? It's like, it's like, it doesn't, I think we already know the answer, kind of, and right. even having it swap would not provide us any more clarity. So, like, it's kind of, it just kind of doesn't matter anyway. One other last thing, and I'm actually going to look this up closer, because I was just trying to look at real quick while we're about to get out of here. But I was trying to look up if the Nets had the best preseason odds ever for a team that didn't win the year before and had never really won anything, right? So, like, and because usually this kind of follows the year before trajectory of whoever won the year before. If they stay mostly intact, they're the team that were the odds on favorites, or, you know, maybe they were there 2 years ago and they kind of, you know, a la the Warriors, and we're kind of getting healthy again or something like that. I was wondering actually if the Nets are the best odds, because the Nets are overwhelming. The Nets and Lakers are overwhelming odds right now. I was wondering if they're the best team. I'll look this up for next week. Is that if they were the best team going into the season on a team that really, I mean, let's put it frankly close, had not even come close to winning the year before and had never won together as a group. It has to be. Yeah. I can't imagine there's a scenario historically that is anything like this Nets roster right now. So this is what I mean. I guess my point is it's all kind of new. And when things are new, you're trying to sort of figure it out on the fly as a fan, as, you know, talking head, whatever. Okay. We are going to get out of here. We'll have a packed week next week as we still get ready, rolling through the offseason, getting ready for the season. Make sure you head on over to the YouTube channel. The link is in the show description. All of our episodes are going up on YouTube right now. Got to build up a nice little following over there. Really excited for what we have in store for YouTube for this upcoming season. It's really kind of going to be one of the futures of the podcast. So make sure you're subscribing to the YouTube channel right now. Link is in the show notes.
And of course, I'm sure Sean Marks would have consulted with this man in the way in which he went about running the Nets organization. Get closer than ever to your customers. So close, in fact, that you can tell them what they need well before they realize it themselves. Stevie Jobs.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets, R.I.P. We'll be back again next week talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.